morning, Pop Chasers, and happy March 29th, you guys. It's Tuesday. I'm Allison, and I'm joined by Samantha Rulo, who this is like technically her second time, but I say technically because we actually had some tech issues that would have made this her third time. Sam, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me again, Allison. And that's very true, listeners. If you're a true fan of Pop Chaser, you'll have to one day find the lost episode that I was on.
So Sam and I are big fans of this podcast called How Did This Get Made? And they had a lost episode, a Christmas episode, 2020, right?
Yes, 2020. Yes.
And it was for the Vanessa Hudgens holiday Netflix vehicle, The Night Before Christmas. And they were That's Night with a K. And they were able to finally release said footage when somebody in the booth, July in the booth, was able to save it. And I will be honest, I'm not savvy in technology. You guys, I edit this on GarageBand. And I couldn't save the footage that Sam recorded. And the thing is Sam recorded it in person, which I usually always do things over Zoom, even if I'm only like, I'm by the person, but we decided let's do this in person. It was like, we were just chit-chatting. We totally forgot we were even recording a podcast. And you'll never hear it. And that's just life, guys. Tis life. But so much to discuss. We're not going to talk Oscar. No, I'm just kidding. Ha ha ha. Have you guys heard that on Sunday, Will Smith slapped Chris Rock at the Oscars? And I'm sure you haven't heard this. I'm sure you haven't seen the video, the meme, the fun thing. Oh God. Okay. Well, the fun thing is Sam didn't watch the Oscars. So she didn't know about this until Monday morning. That's crazy. What was like, who, how did you find out? Talk me through that.
Well, the way I found out was actually interesting. It was via another podcast where I opened my Spotify and I saw there was a new episode of a movie podcast I liked by The Ringer called The Big Picture. And the name of the episode was Slap Heard Round the World and Oscar Takes or something like that. Yes, the 2022 Oscars, the Smack Heard Round the World. And I was like, what? And then it said that shocking Will Smith, Chris Rock confrontation. So then I Googled Oscars, not even Will Smith. And of course, all that came up was that moment.
All.
And then I obviously had to do my, I haven't even listened to the podcast yet because then I just fell into a wave of the actual moment and finding out what happened and putting the pieces together.
I have to be honest, I was kind of dreading the Oscars. And when I sat down, I had some chicken tendies in front of me, three different dips.
Oh,
I know, spreads, sauces. I don't know, whatever you guys want to call them. And some sweet potato fries. And I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to treat myself because I know the Oscars aren't going to treat me. And I was, and I was wrong because
you're wrong.
So often are the Oscars the most boring because they're just the most uppity. And this time around, we got some physical altercations. And when that happened, my jaw was on the ground, as everybody else's was. I'm not trying to sound like I like am reinventing the wheel here. You guys have literally heard so many people talk about this at this point. But I was like, this is entertainment. Like, this is why I'm here. Like, I want to be entertained. And I think that, look, I'm not the judge and jury. Is that what they say? Is that what? Nor the executioner. I am a multi-hyphenate, but those are not my hyphens. I don't. You know that TikTok trend where it's like, my pronouns are she, her, because I'll never be, or what is it? What is it? It's like, my pronouns are.
And I'll never be her.
Her. That's what it is.
She,
my pronouns are she, but I'll never be her or something like that. Anyway, I don't identify as the judge, jury, or executioner. Won't catch that on my res, but I am somebody with an opinion and some thoughts. And so I guess, like, again, I don't think I'm like reinventing the wheel by being like, violence is never the answer, but it's like, it's not. And it's so like, was Chris Rock's joke lame? Yeah, it was fucking lame. It was a low blow. I don't know if he knew that Jada Pinkett Smith has alopecia. I didn't, And I don't also expect people to always know of people's conditions. I think that we're like in this weird time of like oversharing on social media where like, yeah. If you post something on Instagram, you just assume everybody suddenly knows that like, it's like public knowledge and it doesn't work like that. Like information isn't like taken in by osmosis. So just because you put it out on the internet and I use the internet doesn't mean that I now know your information. I don't know if Chris Rock knew that though. I don't know if he was making an alopecia joke. I don't get the sense.
Also, I don't know if he even wrote the joke. Let's not forget that too with how award shows work.
Oh, that felt off the cuff to me. You don't think so?
Okay. Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying like, it doesn't necessarily mean he even wrote it, but
yeah, that's true.
I mean, it was a low blow. I mean, if he knew, especially the thing too, though, is it was so tame otherwise, like he didn't even say she looked bad. Like it was literally just like G.I. Jane 2, haha, yeah. Which is like, okay, referencing a movie where a woman shaved her head and like, yes, with the condition that makes it much more insensitive, but like it still wasn't on its face just like you look like shit, you know. It was right. Just like a dumb movie reference. So of all, and I
thought her dress looked like shit, and I'll say it,
I have a theory of what happened.
What?
So I think Jada played a role in what happened, because here's
what I think.
Are you
gonna blame a woman on Women's History Month?
I might blame a woman. I might blame the victim. So if you look at when he said the joke, Will laughed in the audience, like legitimately.
Yes. No, but I've thought on that, but go ahead.
And Jada did not and rolled her eyes. And I feel like after that happened, she said something to him that was like, are you kidding me? You laughed at that. And then to like super overcompensate, he went up and did that.
I don't think there was enough time for her to like say something. I took that more
maybe
as
she
like,
just gave him the eyes, you know, maybe
she gave him
the
wife eyes.
Like,
no, she gave him the wife eyes. Yeah. I think what I took it more as is like when you are like a nominee and you're being talked about by the person who's presenting, you're just kind of like gonna have that like smile on your face because you know the camera's panning to you. So I took it more as like he was kind of just like being pleasant, knowing the camera was coming on and off of him that whole bit.
He didn't like smile. It was like a little head thrown back laugh.
You think he had a chuckle in him?
I think so.
Well, yeah, I don't know. But here's the thing. When he got his ass off that seat, off that little couch, and walked onto the stage, which like I talked about this on the Hot Off the Mess podcast with Sam Bush, like it was weird because there weren't stairs. And she made a good point of like, she thinks that like stairs would have slowed him down, which maybe would have allowed him to like consider the options.
Or someone might have like grabbed him.
Yeah, exactly. Like Denzel was in the wings. Like he had a prime spot,
yeah, he was ready
but I'm
to
not
go.
Blaming Denzel, but he had a good spot if there were stairs. Yeah, of course. We don't ever blame Denzel. But I just think that like, I don't know, if something had slowed him down a little, if he hadn't been right there, I don't think he would have gone for it. But when he did, that slap, I thought looked pretty hard. Like I've never slapped someone. Sam, now can I put you on the spot?
Sure.
Did you know I was going to ask this?
No. What are you going to ask? If I ever slapped someone?
No, but no, because I know the answer to that. When you see a man,
oh boy,
defending his wife,
oh boy,
now everybody, that's the conversation now. Like he was defending his wife, and he also in his speech brings up like this, love makes you do crazy things and you have to defender of family,
defend your family. Yeah, no. So here's the thing. Look, I struggle with being attracted to toxic masculinity. I'll put it out there.
She loves Jess Mariano.
Yes. I usually, if a character in TV show punches someone in the face, I'm down. However,
one time Sam and I got in the biggest fight over the movie. Fight. What was it called?
The movie Fist Fight. Kevin Hart and Charlie Day.
Yeah. And I was on team Charlie Day because I was like, no, you shouldn't hit somebody. And Sam,
well,
and we were like,
just that. It wasn't that. It was that he wanted to call the cops for someone punching him. And I was like, I'm sorry. An adult man shouldn't call the police and another adult man because he punched him. It's like not an emergency.
Okay, I don't disagree with that, but like Sam and I were so at ends of like, she was like, no, like you, like be a fucking man and fight.
Yeah, honestly.
But does that translate to this?
But also I would fight too. So it's not gendered.
Okay.
I'm not going to be like, oh, you threatened to hit me. Let me hide and call the police. I'm like, okay, well, I guess we're going to have to fight then. Anyway, it's more about standing up for yourself. No, here's the thing. It was more embarrassing to her that this happened than it would have been to let it go.
I don't think she was embarrassed. I think she liked it.
Well, I just think it wasn't a big enough. Okay, no one needed to be protected.
Yeah.
There is no defending. It's a joke. People have said
a bad joke. Yeah.
An offensive joke. People have said probably very worse and more offensive things in many award shows many times. At Ricky Gervais was like a huge thing. Everyone hated him. So it's just, I don't think that a bad joke is something that needs to be defended in that way. I think if anything, in Will's speech, he could have said something like mean and funny about Chris Rock.
Yes. He could have made him look like such an asshole.
Like he should. And like, he didn't know he was going to win, but like, I think
he knew.
Like they could have definitely just like had like a barb back at him. And I think that would have been the appropriate response.
But yeah. Or like donate to alopecia research or something.
Yeah. Like to quote unquote defend Jada in that after a joke was made about her, he slapped the person who said it is out of control.
It's like Bridgerton duels where like there's like one scene in season one of Bridgerton where like two friends get into a straight up duel where one is going to die because the other like was found like mouth, like a peck on the mouth in the garden. And I was like, this doesn't have to happen.
Like, no. Also, you know what I think part of it is too? I think first of all, like I said, this made it a bigger deal. And like, I think it makes it ultimately more embarrassing for everyone involved.
Yeah.
However, also of all people, Will Smith would be the last person I expected to do this. Like, it was almost like disappointing in that way because it's like Will Smith. Like, that's it's just like
Lindsay said.
You think of him as so like jovial and funny, and like he's still the Fresh Prince, and like his social media presence, he's always just like funny and like making fun of himself and just like so sweet. And so for him to take a dumb joke that seriously, to slap Chris Rock and then also like yell at him from the seats after because it still wasn't enough, is like, that's not the Will Smith I thought I knew. I would expect that from like an old man who's like grumpy and can't take a joke anymore. Like If Michael Douglas had done that, I honestly wouldn't have been surprised or been as hurt. You know, I just expect it from someone who's like a little crotchety and like not cool. But Will Smith, I'm like, dude, like you know better than that. Like you're better than this.
Yeah.
It also makes me sad because I was excited for him to possibly win his first Oscar and he did. And now it's like, it'll always be shattered by this. And like, I would have rather us all just be happy that Will Smith finally won an Oscar
after entertaining
us all for 30 years.
So, okay, you said so many good things there that I'm trying to like organize my thoughts, but they're like fleeting. I can't really remember what I was going to say, but I agree with you. Like, I think that I didn't expect that from him either. I didn't see him as that person. It almost, if I'm being honest, and guys, I'm going to go there. You gotta almost wonder, like, is there something else? It felt so reactive to something that Jada has supposedly spoken out about and like has, and from what I've seen in since, and honestly in the last 24 hours, so I haven't really done that much research, has been able to, Jada is an open fucking book to a degree that like, I don't want to know everything. And I don't need your red table talk about your entanglements with your like son's young rapper friend that you have sex with. Like, I don't need to know all of that, but like, I do think it's great that she's speaking out about alopecia if that's something that she feels comfortable doing. And from what I've seen when she speaks out about it, she's basically like, I'm going to make this thing my bitch. Like, that's who Jada Pinkett Smith is. She is not soft. She is not somebody. Yeah, and that's not to say, that is not to say that she cannot have insecurities, that she cannot be hurt by things. With that said, the way he reacted is just like really, it's not new. It's not a fresh diagnosis. It made it almost feel like Jada Pinkett Smith is dying. We don't know. Chris Rock made this joke and Will Smith reacted. That's honestly what I got from it.
Like, it made it seem even worse than it actually was.
Or there's something that's going on that we don't actually know. Like, there's that's what I felt. This is obvious. I'm just talking now, guys. I have no idea. But that's how it felt, which is why it was so surprising to me. Now, to your point about Will, it ruining this moment for him, it 100% did. Now, everybody, every time we look back on this, every time we look back on everyone who won an Oscar last night, it's going to be the night Will Smith slapped Chris Rock. And when he was crying, I think there was like a lot of emotion going through his mind. I'm sure there was embarrassment. Oh my God, the embarrassment. And that in itself is enough to cry. Like, I felt that embarrassment for him. And I could feel, as an empath, could feel like the want to cry because of the just like over the amount of emotion that's coming through, you know?
Yes.
Also, again, as you said, waiting your whole life for this moment and knowing you fucked up and you ruined it.
Yeah. And a lot of people think he was snubbed for Ali, which was at this point a long time
Pursuit
ago.
Pursuit of Happiness.
Pursuit of Happiness as well. Like, yeah, it's not like this was the first time he even seemed like he was in a movie that could win it. You know,
Hitch.
For us, Hitch could have won an Oscar, but even to the snobs, there was other opportunities where people thought he deserved one. So for it to be like, oh my, it was almost like one of the ones like, oh, he's finally going to get it. Like, we've been waiting.
And that's why I think we knew that it was going to happen, which is again, why I would be like buttoned up, be fucking ready, be ready to accept your Oscar.
Say something like scathing, like, you know, subtweet of Chris Rock in your speech.
But also just know that like, you're going to be up on that stage in 30 minutes. So don't do anything to ruin it. But I did also think that like, I don't know if you saw this, but like, in his speech, he said something that Denzel and Tyler Perry, filmmaker extraordinaire, yes, had pulled him aside, talked to him. I guess like a lot of people were like kind of lining up. It was like a funeral line.
I saw a Bradley Cooper image of him like grabbing him by the shoulders. Like, I didn't even know you guys were friends. I didn't know that Will Smith and Tyler Perry were friends, but here we go.
Yeah. I feel like Tyler Perry is in a way like the father of Hollywood. He's like, you know, Papa Noel, in that like he's just all there.
I'll never forget that he let Meghan and Harry stay in his house before they
live. Everybody knows Tyler.
The reveal of all time.
But I did think so. I guess Denzel told him like when you're at your highest is when the devil comes for you. So I thought that was really powerful. I paraphrased that and totally butchered it. It was more meaningful, I think, when Denzel said it to Will, but I do think that that is interesting. And I think it's true to an extent, like when you're at your highest,
you almost feel like untouchable.
Yeah. And then you are faced with people who don't want the best for you. I don't think that Chris Rock doesn't necessarily want the best for Will Smith, but it's just more like you're faced with challenges of people who maybe are trying to bring you down in a way, even if it's at a comedic expense.
Part of me, and this is again my struggle with toxic masculinity, I kind of feel like it's not a coincidence that all the very public cheating stuff and everything in their marriage came out recently, because I almost feel like it's like he had a chip on his shoulder already, that he like felt the need to overcompensate about his like stature as her husband.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like, I don't know. I just feel like all that happening so publicly is like, has to be like, talk about like embarrassing or emasculating or something, that I wonder if this was also like, he was just already maybe feeling
like, I have to be
and
the
then so it,
husband.
It made the switch.
Yeah. So that's interesting. I mean, I do think again, like okay, this is what I said earlier, and I don't know if this is not okay to say. I like Red Table Talk as much as the next person, because I do think it's really interesting the way that they are not only dismantling like stereotypes and are able to have open and honest conversations about mental health, relationships, what have you. I think it's great that they do it generationally as well. I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Yeah.
With that said, Will Smith to me is like a fucking movie star. He is Oscar nominated Will Liam Smith, I'm assuming. And Jada's Facebook TV show just doesn't like align with that to me. And I think Jada, guys, I just watched Girls Trip like 2 weeks ago for like the fifth time. I think it's great. I love her as an actor. I think she's talented. She's funny. I think she is somebody who has a lot to say, but I always kind of felt like it was like not at the level of what the Smiths should be doing. They are stars. Jaden Smith.
No, raps. I mean, there's a fame gap there for sure.
Jaden Smith raps in that one song with Justin Bieber that he was born to the power of Will. He was born between two stars, so the clouds are where he'll land. I think I'm paraphrasing, but isn't that beautiful? Like
it is.
And for that, like for us to be like knowing all about their quote entanglements, I'm like, that's not for me to know. Like I only want to know like this shit when you guys divorce. And even then, like there are certain things when you are the one of the biggest Hollywood couples, I shouldn't be privy to knowing. So like when I find out about your entanglements and all of this stuff, I'm kind of like, oh, this is like for people who have podcasts. And I'm saying that it's like, this isn't podcast. You guys aren't podcasters, you know, like where you overshare.
It should be above this. Fact that something too, that I think is very interesting about him, that kind of shows the staying power and that his just like as a human charisma, the hold it has on us is like before this movie, he went on like what it's been like a 10-year run of pretty shitty movies across the board. Like,
oh, that's it.
Like After Earth, famously terrible. Like, I don't know how Gemini was. I didn't hear a ton about it. Like,
is that the one where he was like his own self? No.
But, so he hasn't done anything that's been super notably good in the past maybe 10 years to me. And I think to a lot of people, he's still one of the biggest movie stars in the world because what he did before that is so huge that he's just like a presence. Like, just from Men in Black and Independence Day is like, he will be the biggest one of the biggest movie stars we've ever known, even if he never had made another good movie. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and also the Fresh Prince thing, like when you were
Bad Boys.
Yes. It's like, exactly. So, and Ali and Pursuit of Happiness and the serious ones.
This was like his, I Am Legend, 7 Pounds.
I can't talk about I Am Legend, but
I can't either.
So that's
Annie 2014.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that one. Wow.
No, but like your point is,
well, that's just the staying power he has and the star he has, and that's part of a. That's an uneven power balance. That you're right. We shouldn't know those things about someone who's that much of a star. Like, the closest with like a Brad Pitt or someone is just like the Angelina Jolie stuff, and that's only because that happened publicly. Like, he switched partners. Like,
where do you think Scientology fits into this?
Oh God, I forgot about that.
I brought it up, guys. I brought it up. I'm saying
honestly,
it.
Honestly, they're gonna come after you now. Like,
really?
Honestly, like they're gonna know that you said this. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they were involved.
Oof.
I'm sure he'll be auditing about it for the next month on the cans.
Oh, people are saying that Will Smith was not high on Scientology when he slugged Chris Rock at the Oscars. That's funny.
But yeah, so
no, I don't think they are Scientologists. So I think they're like Scientology adjacent, right?
Yeah, I think they were like Scientology curious. Like they were like,
oh, like I mean, aren't we all? Like,
they flirted with it, but I don't think they ever really took the plunge.
Okay, that's interesting. I mean,
but yeah, so that's just.
But you know, John Travolta was in the wings, being like, "Hey, buddy, I can help you through this."
He's ready to grab him. Ready to grab. But yeah, so I think that's just about. Part of why it's also such a huge deal, because again, like we don't expect this from him.
Yeah, we don't. And I think that
we expect it from someone who's known to be erratic, like Kanye, someone who's known to just do wild things. Or someone, like I said, who I think is known to be like kind of grumpy and just like
crotchety.
Not cool. Yeah. Like an old man. If Clint Eastwood did that, would I have been shocked? No.
What would you, if you're Will Smith's publicist, like what is your plan of action? I actually have one that I think would have worked.
Well, first, I just want to let you know that I read an article that, of all people, the person who's claiming that they saw them make up and that things are good between Chris Rock and Will Smith is Diddy.
Yeah.
So shouts to Diddy for possibly
but I then saw the
to
update,
confirm that.
I saw the update that that wasn't true then, too. So it's like, who knows?
What would I do if I was a publicist? I mean, I would think that I'd have to, I would
quit
a statement.
So this is what I would have done. And I actually think that this is the way it should have gone. I think Will should have been removed from the, he should have removed himself. He should have like, when, after that happened at the commercial break, him and Jada quietly leave and they know that he's going to win in 30 minutes. So they release a statement and they have Denzel, or they just have somebody go up, or the, you know, announcers, whoever was presenting, says like, Will Smith cannot accept this tonight. And it's a statement and it's like, I am so grateful to have been able to play King William, and I'm, you know,
that's not the name of the movie or the character, but continue.
King Richard.
You're thinking of Prince Will as in the Fresh Prince, or Prince
William. I'm just thinking of his name as Will Smith, but yeah. Of King Richard, and I'm thinking of the Williams sisters. That's what I'm, because his name is Richard William. So giving a statement that is only movie focused, as if he was giving the speech, then I am his publicist. I release a separate statement that is separate, emailed out separately about the slap, where I say, I regret my actions. I apologize to Chris, to the Academy, to my nominees, to everybody. I removed myself because I didn't want to overcloud the rest of the evening. And I hope everybody can enjoy it. I am so grateful for every opportunity I've been given, and I am going to reflect upon my actions over the next few days. That is what I would have done. That way, it is two separate statements. Unfortunately, now every time we rewatch that speech, the slap is going to come up. Had he done them as separate statements, I think that we would have perhaps been able to move on from this. That's what I think they could have done. That would have worked, personally.
Interesting. I just think that there's no way you can get someone to not show up for their first Oscar.
That is the price you pay when you slap someone on international television. That's, and that's what I think that he would have to like come to terms with. And I think that that would probably be one of the hardest things. And I don't know how you come to terms with that, if that's L. Ron Hubbard or if that is through prayer or what, but I think that you find your way of coming to terms with it, because you've made it, your actions have consequences. And in this case, the consequence is you don't get to accept your Oscar. Now, did you see too, that like they're going into like a review, the Oscars are reviewing his actions, and Whoopi Goldberg says,
what does that mean?
So I think what it means is he could possibly get like suspended from the Academy. But not, he won't get it removed. He's not going to get his Oscar taken away, because that's the thing too. It's like, that would have happened already. He wouldn't have gotten it then, you know, but I don't think that.
Yeah. Also, I mean, I'm sure that if we look into the past, there are people who have won Oscars who have done much worse things.
I mean, in that case, we need to talk Roman Polanski.
Exactly. Yeah, like there's people who have done much worse things who have not had their Oscars taken away.
I think that it was just because it was at the Oscars that it was
maybe they'll suspend him from the Academy, or he's not allowed to go.
I just think he's going to get like a slap on exactly that. He's going to get a slap on the wrist and not be able to go next year. And that's it. But unfortunately, this is always going to be the Oscars that Will Smith.
And it's going to overshadow him having an Oscar, like for the rest of his life. When he's an Oscar winner, Will Smith, the first thing we'll think of with the Oscar winner is slap.
Yeah, the slap.
So he also, you know, put a cloud over his own achievement.
I mean, this is going to be something that I'm sure he's headed to Red Table Talk to discuss. I'll have to tune in.
Yeah.
I haven't been this excited about an RTT since Jordan Woods.
Yeah, this is going to be big. I'm excited to see how it goes down and how also Jada approaches it as well.
Yeah, I understand this idea of like looking over at your partner and seeing the like pain, if that, you know, something was inflicted. I just wish that like, I genuinely think like Jada is okay. Here's the other thing.
Yeah.
everyone is okay. Chris Rock is going to be okay. Everyone, like Judd Apatow out there, who's like, he could have killed him. Judd Apatow said that. It's like, and then everyone came for Judd Apatow because they were like, dude, you've had James Franco on set and defended him, or like Busy Phillips. Yeah. Who like accused Seth or James Franco of shoving her onto the ground during Freaks and Geeks and them not doing anything about it. Like, it was like, not, I was like, dude, you missed this one. But like, everyone in this part, everyone's going to be fine. They're all rich as shit. They're all going to be fine. They will be fine.
I mean, Chris Rock like joked about it immediately after.
I think he was in pure shock. I mean, I don't even know, like, I don't know how he continued for that. I mean, I tip my hat. I thought the Liza Minnelli thing at the end of the night was really sad. Like, I didn't know that she was unwell, and I don't know what she is like dealing with. I don't want to like make assumptions. I certainly can. And I did last night when I was Googling things, but I thought it was really nice to see, like, Lady Gaga is like the elderly whisperer. Although Liza Minnelli's only 76. Lady Gaga's
really good at also like lifting other people up. And I think she did a really good job of that.
She is. But it's just like, I think we have to stop like parading unwell people out during these award shows. Like, they did that with Kirk Douglas. Mm. And now they're doing it with Liza Minnelli. And it's just like, I don't think Liza Minnelli, of all people, I think Liza Minnelli wants people to remember her as fabulous. And what they did was like, it felt like bringing like a.
Yeah, but like, she didn't have to do it too.
Honestly, Sam, her like cognition didn't seem 100% there. Like, I don't, she seemed completely overwhelmed when like people were cheering and clapping. Like, she seemed a little like jolted. I just like didn't like it. And if you think Kirk Douglas thought he knew what he was doing when he did that a couple of years ago, when Catherine Zeta-Jones wheeled him out, then like, no, it's just, they love this type of moment. It's such a parade and it feels just gross to me. But I did think it was a really sweet moment between Gaga and Liza. I just like didn't know that she was like not well. So that made me sad. And I thought it was hysterical when they like shoved Jamie Lee Curtis out on that stage with a shaking chihuahua and like a Betty White tribute to try to distract us from the slap. I thought Amy, Wanda, and Regina were good. How the hell do you try to gain control over that ceremony after that?
Yeah, I thought we learned not to have multiple hosts though with James Franco and Anne Hathaway, but I guess we didn't.
We certainly didn't. No, but they always like were, they were just doing like their own thing. Like, they were like barely on screen together, which I thought was kind of weird. But yeah, I guess that's the Oscars for you guys. Congrats to Coda.
I was disappointed by, we don't talk about Bruno, just so you know.
Wait, because of the Megan Thee Stallion?
Yeah, I mean, just, I'm a fan of the song.
You love Encanto.
I love Encanto. I really do. I love that song especially. And I also think that people really sleep on What Else Can I Do, which is another great song from the soundtrack. Anyway, I love Megan Thee Stallion, and I love, we don't talk about Bruno. I didn't love
the combination. Two truths can exist. Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't love the combination. And I didn't like that it was so far from the actual song that I listened to. Like, we skipped verses.
That's what I heard. You know, I heard that they like skipped the best part.
Yes. So
do you want to sing that part for us?
I think I'm good for now, but
copyright issues.
Shout out to Encanto for winning the Oscar for best song as deserved and best animated feature.
Yeah, that was great. I mean, I guess I was kind of surprised.
Wait, did it win best song?
I don't know. I just was going with you on that.
I think maybe the James Bond song.
Oh, James Bond did win. Billie Eilish won.
Okay. But Encanto
won. William Eyelash won. And they thanked a woman. They thanked a woman named Barbara Broccoli, who supposedly like is like the owner of the Bond like franchise. She's a producer, but her name is Barbara Broccoli. And yeah, Coda. It's like a coming of age, like a heartwarming coming of age, which like is sweet. And I guess from what I've seen, I haven't really seen a lot of people that say it didn't deserve to win, but a lot of people have been just kind of like, it was a sweet movie. And I think that that's kind of the takeaway. Maybe we just needed that. Like, we just needed a sweet thing. I think
there also weren't anything that people were super hyped about this year. like people thought Power of the Dog was
I thought
win
Power
for a
of the
long
Dog
time.
was gonna win.
And but like no one was like, oh my god, this is a travesty. And then like, oh, actually Coda Women, they'd be, oh, that's nice. Like, I don't think this year and last year, I think because there's just been such, it's, I think we're still look like the past year we still saw less movies released than usual because it was, you know, the movies released
COVID.
in 2021, which were obviously from COVID, like things were delayed and like productions didn't happen. So I think that we're still just working off of a much smaller
Yeah,
scale.
that's
And so
true.
there's less things that we're excited about. There's less things that we were like rallying around.
What are you
So there
excited
was,
about?
What am I excited about?
Yeah.
For the, like, none of the Oscars movies was I like super,
but just like in life or movies, upcoming movies.
Oh, well, I am excited. I did see that on this Friday, April 1st, a classic piece of cinema is being added to Netflix.
What?
And that is the rare theatrical release by Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, New York Minute.
What?
Yes, I just saw it on the Netflix list. I was looking for anything new coming Friday that we could chat about. I saw New York Minute and I screamed.
Oh my God. I love that one. Jared Padalecki, hot. Mm-hmm. The guy, the other guy, hot. Eugene Levy, hot.
Hot.
The dog, not hot. Chinese, it's a Chinese crested.
Yeah, so that's going to be a fun one. But what else am I excited about?
Well,
I
we're mean, obviously
I need to watch Bad Vegan. I heard that's really good.
Oh my God, I have to watch that. What is that about? Like, is she, obviously she's a bad vegan.
It's another con man story.
She's a con
person.
We're
all about the cons these days, yeah.
It really is like the time for conning.
It's a big year for cons.
I know. I'm trying to think like, I really, well, we're excited about, and this is a little ways away. Knives Out 2.
Oh, Knives Out 2. I can't wait. I hope that's on the Oscar talks for that was, didn't it, it won screenplay or was nominated for screenplay?
It wrote best original screenplay.
Yeah. I was, that was one where I was really passionate about wanting something to win.
I also just want to shout out Death on the Nile is coming to Hulu on today.
Isn't it the
28th? It's the 29th. It's today.
Okay.
Oh my God. I can't wait. I didn't see it in theaters. I feel like it kind of came to digital very quick.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of fanfare.
No, and I'm not going to blame that on Armie Hammer. I just think that like, it was just like, there was a lot of other stuff coming out. It was Spider-Man, you know, like people were still getting around to
there
like.
There was also such a quick turnaround from super Spider-Man obsession to super Batman obsession that there wasn't a lot of like Spider-Man. I think you either it might still be available in theaters or definitely when I saw Batman, you could have also seen No Way Home still in theaters.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was still out. So I think there was just like not a lot of room for any other big.
Was Arbat's not at the Oscars? I don't think he was. I mean, Zoe was. She looked stunning. Do you have any thoughts on Best and Worst Dressed really quickly?
The only person who really stuck out to me was Timothée Chalamet, which was a bold choice.
I thought he looked great. And I have to say, I actually liked Kristen Stewart in Hot Pants. I thought that was like cool. I feel like the Oscars this year were like, they were leaving some people's grandmas shaken in their booties because they were like scandalized by seeing a thigh and a nipple. Speaking of nipple, poor Venus Williams, because not only when Will Smith is giving his speech about their father, are they cutting to the Williams sisters, which is just annoying because it's like, they're not the face of this scandal. So like, stop. Like, I get why they were cutting to them. But she had a nipple out.
They're about the movie. It's not about
I understand that. No, but like, but he's talking about unconditional love and how you do crazy things for love. And they like cut to them. And it's like,
yeah,
now they have to give statements.
Called their dad crazy.
I know. Yeah. But then also Venus Williams's nipple is poking out. And I was like, I think it just was like, what's all the commotion out there? Like, what are you guys talking about? Because I want to. a little peek around the corner. But I just was like, God, like that sucks. But you know, nobody's even talking about the nipple. So
I mean, that's honestly,
that's what's so crazy.
If there's ever been a good time to have a nip slip, it's after Will Smith slapped someone in the face because no one will be talking about
it. No one's talking about it. And we're not talking about Bruno either.
We never were
allowed to. Okay, Sam, Anything else you want to say? We just watched a movie this weekend called Intrusion.
Yes, we'd love to plug Intrusion. Great watch.
It's on Netflix. It's with Frida Pinto and Austin Marshall Green, who you Logan Marshall Green, who you might know
as not being Tom Hardy.
As not being Tom Hardy in Spider-Man Homecoming. You might know him as
the person killed in the OC's infamous Whatcha Say scene.
Trey.
Ryan Atwood's brother, Trey.
Yeah. He's in this movie, and so is Frida Pinto, and so are some other people, not notable. And it's great if you guys like thrillers. Sam and I love a Lifetime thriller, and this is a Netflix one. So
it's just not scary. We originally were worried.
Oh, we thought it was going to be like supernatural.
Yeah, I didn't watch it originally when I saw it because I thought it was about a scary home invasion kind of thing. Like we thought we'd be really scared.
Yeah, or like that Dennis Quaid movie. What's that one called?
Lakeview Terrace? No, that's a different one.
No, this is it's literally called I don't know.
Lakeview Terrace, I think Samuel L. Jackson is an evil neighbor. It's a similar story of an evil neighbor.
Dennis Quaid movie is called...
Is it called The Neighbor?
The Intruder.
The Intruder, okay.
Okay, I'll let you get one guess at who The Intruder is. It's Dennis Quaid.
But yeah, so we thought it'd be kind of scary along those lines, and it wasn't. So definitely you can handle it.
It wasn't scary at all, but it was my pulse was racing in a couple moments.
Yeah, it was. And we also watched Hypnotic recently, which I super recommend.
We did?
Yeah.
Oh my God, you guys have to watch Hypnotic. See, that one I thought was kind of scary.
But great.
Great. So yes. Good. Who's the girl in it? Kate Siegel?
Yes.
She's your girl from
Midnight Mass. And she's in Haunting of Hill House. But yeah, two great thrillers, definitely. And Netflix is really upping their game there. I think they know that that's what people want. We don't get them as often as
they used to. They at least know that that's what we want.
You know?
And I know. I think
they're really throwing their hat in the ring, and I appreciate it. I hope they do more.
And honestly, before we know it, they will be at the Oscars. Frida Pinto will be there again. Reclaiming her spot and in accepting an award for Intrusion, a retroactive Oscar for Intrusion. Okay, guys, I guess I can quickly just speak about Bridgerton, but I'd worry that people haven't seen it yet because it's 10 episodes and they're all an hour long. So my review of non-spoiler is I just thought it was a little slow. And I'm not saying I need bodices to be ripped off within the first 2 minutes of a show, but within the first two episodes, I would like to see a butt.
Did you finish it?
I didn't finish it yet. No. And so did you?
No.
Did you start?
I don't watch Bridgerton.
Yeah. I didn't think you did. So I didn't know where that judgment was coming from. And
no, I just was, that was general curiosity.
But my review is again, the first season, and I don't want to be on the record for saying this, but the first season is horny as shit. There's a lot that happened on the stairs, you guys. And if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. In this one, I'm literally six episodes in and I'm nobody's had sex.
Oh, that's shocking for what I want to show.
I don't want smut, but do I? I don't know, guys. I don't know. So that's just I'm waiting for that. But I do really look, it's really hilarious how little it takes for me to turn around on a man with problems. Because I hated the brother in the first season. I thought he was so annoying and wanted him to die alone. And all I need is one tortured horse ride alone in the country field where I'm just he's perfect. I can fix him.
Maybe I should watch the show. Sounds like my type.
Honestly, you would love it, Sam, because in season one, the guy is tortured and has a lot of daddy issues.
Is this the guy who left?
Yeah.
The hot guy? Okay.
Yeah. And then season two, guess what? More daddy issues. I always say every problem in Bridgerton could be solved if men just talked about their feelings. But what's the fun in that?
Yeah. I mean, we don't have a show.
Yeah, we wouldn't have a show. You're right. But yeah, that's Bridgerton. I can talk about it more next week when I finish it and everybody else finishes it. But until then, I won't be here next week because I'm going on vacation.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was a weird way to.
I was excited oh, yeah. for you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm hyping you up.
I am going on just a little weekend trip. So I won't be here next weekend or next week, but Sam Bush is going to have a new episode for you guys. So show her some love. I love that. I'm like, Sam Bush, I need to help out a friend, Sam Bush, who has like 160,000 followers on Instagram. But I hope you guys have a great week. Until then, you can go on to thedip.com. Use the promo code GWOK. It's only good until the 31st for 90% off the dip. First annual, your first year subscription. And that's like $6, which is nothing. And you can talk to us, use the community feature where we're like chit-chatting. Sam's posting on there. I'm posting on there.
Hit me up. I'm Sam Mariano on there.
Yeah. As we talk about daddy issues.
I'm really enjoying the not even like entertainment-y community pages of just yes. like chatting about life.
My favorite is the Should I Buy This community, because it's just people telling you to make poor financial decisions.
Everyone needs that in their life.
Yeah. You all need somebody who's just be like, yeah, just buy it. A stranger on the internet. And it's really fun. And besides that, you guys can also just like check out great premium content. I wrote a piece with Danielle Oliveira from Summer House. It's a profile. It's like over 2,000 words. So buckle up, baby. You got to sit down and really read it. But you can't read it if you're not a subscriber of The Dip. And I went to college for this. Like, this is my talent. I think your talent, Allison, is podcasting. Support artists, support women. And then April 1st, you don't have to support me. You can unfollow me on Instagram. But until then, you have to. It's like illegal. You legally have to support me. So use promo code GWOK, 90% off. It's such a steal. It's like, honestly, using the promo code GWOK is just as cheap as like getting guac added to your Chipotle burrito. I think it's like, essentially, that's like $6 for a scoop of guacamole. And until then, Sam, thanks so much for joining. And I'm glad that we could make this one. Hopefully this recorded.
I know. I hope this one isn't also lost to time, but happy to be here. Happy to come back anytime for a maybe second time, maybe fourth time. Depends on what we're counting these days with all my lost episodes.
Every day is a mystery. And until I'm back from vacay and I'll have stories, I hope everyone has a great week and cheers. Yeah.